hope that you'll stand with us this morning as we offer our praise, all creatures of our God and King.
Thank you. Well, good morning, church family. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And you have survived the first cold front of the year. Way to go. And you made it to church. That's amazing. Church, we are so excited to see you here with us today. And if this is your first time here or your first time in a long time, we'd like to say welcome home. In the pew in front of you, there's a yellow card. If you wouldn't mind filling that out, and at the end of today's service, if you'll take it all the way down here, there's a blue wall that says welcome. Just give that to the person there. We have a small gift for you. Or if you're like me and you have terrible handwriting, you can scan the QR code that's also on the pew in front of you or on the screens behind me and fill out the same information and do it that way. Church, we are just so excited to get to celebrate a moment together as we worship our risen King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for everyone in this room. We thank you for this wonderful moisture that you're giving to us, God. We ask that you please be with us today. Open up our hearts and our minds to hear your word and your glory, God. We love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's continue to worship.
As we praise the Lord in the presence of Jehovah.
Thank you.
As we sing of Jesus, our cornerstone.
Built on nothing less than Jesus. Pray with me.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that you are our cornerstone, Lord, that we can come to you in every situation. Lord, we thank you for this church. Thank you for the opportunities you give us to share you with others. Pray that you would take these tithes and offerings and bless them to your service, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. Bless in the worship hour, Lord. Just give Brother Brian the words that you have for him, for us today, and give us receptive hearts to your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Jesus bled and died for me.
Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as family. And as we continue in this thought, in this vein that we have begun of thinking about the power of the resurrection, the way it changes everything, I pray that today you would remind us that because you live, we have hope. And because we have hope, we can have peace. And Lord, I know there are people in this room today that need to feel your peace, need to sense your presence. Lord, we lift up this time to you. We ask that you would open our hearts to what you have for us. Remind us, no matter what we are going through, no matter what we are experiencing, you are with us. You are near. And your presence brings comfort and peace. Be glorified today, Father, in all that happens here. In Jesus' name, amen. As I just prayed a couple of weeks ago, we began this series following Easter of the power of the resurrection and the fact that it changes everything. I've continued to share a statement with you over the last couple of weeks that there is no other event in history that redefines human existence as does the resurrection. I believe that is true. We would not be here if Jesus had not died on the cross and been raised again. We wouldn't be here. The resurrection gives us hope. Jesus said to Martha, just a few feet away from the tomb of Lazarus, that he is the resurrection and the life. He gives us life. And so I've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, that this life should be something that is different. Resurrection should make a difference in the way that we live. The world outside of this place should see a difference in us. We talked on the first week after Easter about this idea of the fact that we have a new life. And I've continued to use this statement as well, that we must be buried with him in order to be raised by him so that we can live for him. We're buried with him. We surrender our lives to him. We trust him fully. And then he changes us. He raises us up to walk in a new life. Paul says we are a new creature. God says in Isaiah, look, I'm doing something new. And so we are to be this new creation that is different, that the world can see a difference in us. And as I said last week, we talked about this idea of hope, that we have hope, and hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is what? A confident conviction that God really is who he says he is and that he can get you through whatever you face. It's that confident knowing, that knowing that God is bigger, that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. That's hope. And that hope, I believe, leads to peace. I ran across a quote a couple of weeks ago and I saved it for today because it is very convicting to me. Christoph Blumhardt was a German theologian. And the first part of this statement, you're going to raise your eyebrow, but hear it to the end because it makes more sense. He said, it is not the worst if some people are unable to believe that Christ rose from the dead. At least they still regard it as something tremendous, too tremendous to glibly confess. The sad thing is that so many people today claim to believe it, and yet it means so little to them. Let me read that last part again. The sad thing is that so many people today claim to believe it, and yet it means so little to them. He wrote that over 100 years ago. That was convicting to me when I read that. You may have heard me say, I have a little sticky note on my monitor that says that, I wrote this down several years ago, that the most grievous sin of the believer today is that we live in the very presence of God and yet with little regard. God is with us all the time and we just don't take time to notice. So through this time, I want us to really focus on the fact that we have this hope and we have peace, and that should set us apart. that we have this faith in a God who loves us, who is with us. Our text for this morning, Paul tells us in Philippians 4 that we are to rejoice, and it's a command. He even repeats it. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all." Let people see. It ought to be evident in your life. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He tells us to rejoice that God is near, that He offers His peace. We simply need to what? Turn to Him, present to Him, give to Him all those things that we're concerned about, and not be anxious about anything. I have the privilege as a pastor to walk through some very difficult times with people. And it's always humbling to me to see the peace that God gives when someone truly trusts Him. Even in the midst of trying circumstances. And just this week, some of you have needed His peace. Amen? There's a young family, just a week ago, had their 4-year-old in the hospital, needing peace. I learned about that on my drive to be with my mother-in-law, who had surgery on Monday for colon cancer. We needed some peace. We need peace in our lives. And the world ought to be able to see that in the middle of that child being in the ICU, or that 85-year-old lady, she probably will not be happy that I just gave her age, but she's not here. In the midst of those things, having peace in the roller coaster on ups and downs of a difficult day shows the world that we have something that means something, that God is with us. And so that's that resurrection power that I want us to truly understand and grasp, that we have a new life, a life in Christ, a life that He gives us this hope and this peace because He has raised us up out of the tomb. He has freed us from the fear of death and from sin. So I want us to look today at this idea of peace. And Paul tells us here, it's not dependent on our circumstances. Rather, we should hand everything to Him, no matter what, good and bad. And he says in verse 7, this peace will transcend all understanding. God's peace is beyond our comprehension. It doesn't make sense. How can we face difficult circumstances and yet have this peace? The peace of mind that comes from trusting in Jesus, it transforms our lives. From the outside, peace is being content, even in the middle of impossible situations. Being in the middle of those situations and not becoming anxious, that's what the world sees, if we have His peace. Now, are we going to be perfect at this? Anybody? No. But we can know that He offers that peace. God's peace, you've heard me define peace this way. God's peace is not the absence of struggle. If you look up peace in the dictionary, most definitions will include somewhere in there the absence of war. And I understand, in wartime we have peace and we have wartime. But in biblical understanding, peace is not the absence of difficulty. It is the absence of fear. Think about that for a minute. And you may push back and you may say, well, I'm not afraid, I'm just realistic. Okay. But when push comes to shove, true peace, that peace that doesn't make any sense, that peace like a long cleansing breath, is the absence of fear. Because we don't have to fear. Why? Because God is with us and He's bigger. That's His peace. That's what He offers us. God's peace isn't the absence of struggle, but the absence of fear. Our peace isn't dependent on our circumstances. It is dependent on the presence of Jesus in our lives. And Jesus is present because He is alive. He is risen. God's peace is beyond comprehension to the human understanding, the calm in the storm, the deep cleansing breath, as I said a moment ago. It's similar to hope from the biblical standpoint. I believe hope and peace are two sides of the same coin. When we have hope, when we truly have that conviction that God is bigger, then we can have peace because we know God has this. Whatever this is for you, that's His peace. Peace that comes in knowing that God has this, that God is bigger, and that we don't have to fear. We don't have to worry. Paul says, don't be anxious, but instead, what? Take everything to Him in prayer with thanksgiving. Offer it to Him, and then trust Him with it. How often do we take Him our needs and say, Lord, I really need You to help me with this, and then we pick it up and carry it off with us? That's hard to do, but that's part of the trust that we'll talk about in just a moment, of really trusting that He is who He says He is, that He'll do what He says He will do. God's peace is contentment in the middle of struggle. God's peace is contentment in the middle of struggle. And that's what the world will see. Those around you who may not have a relationship with Jesus, when they see you going through a difficult time and yet you do so with peace, knowing that God is bigger and that you trust that God loves you, that God is near, that God has only the best in mind for you, the world will see that. Those around you will see that. The difference that it makes to have Jesus in our lives. He is that source of peace, the peace that is made possible because of hope. We find it in Jesus because He lives, because He defeated death, because He defeated sin. He rose again. And that resurrection changes everything because now we can trust. We have hope. We have this peace. Jesus has truly defeated sin and conquered death. And so there's nothing else to fear. I referred to this passage in Hebrews chapter 2 before, but the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus came, became a man because the children were living as slaves to the fear of death. But because of what He has done, He has freed us from that fear. We no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to pay for our sins. In verse 5, Paul says that the Lord is near. I want to pause here for just a moment and just do a little Bible study with us. Some would suggest that possibly that ties, that statement, the Lord is near, ties to the sentence before. So if you look to that, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And so in that regard, if you take it that way, then basically Paul is saying, you need to be on your best behavior because God's near. Right? There's some truth to that. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. God's watching. God's near. There's another way to take it as well. If you have studied the Bible much, you know that in the original language, we didn't have all of the markings, the periods, the verses. It was just all big sentences running together. So here's a thought. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is near. Now, is it true that we should be making sure that, our gentleness is evident because God is watching? Yes, absolutely. But I also see power in understanding that God is near, and so we have nothing to fear. God is near. So be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Verse 6. The key to having peace is trust and taking all of these things, all of the things that we deal with, all of the struggles in our lives, taking them to Him. Now, let me just say, we have a tendency to take the big things, don't we? But the smaller things, we think, I got this. I can handle this. Paul tells us, take it all. Take it all to Him. I have found through my life that more often than not, those little things add up to be big things. And it pulls us away. It takes our eye off of who really is able to take care of it. Who really is trustworthy. Who really is faithful. I will tell you, and I've told you this before, don't put your trust in me. I'm not going to willingly, knowingly let you down, but I'm human. And I'll just tell you now, I'll let you down. Some of you are shaking your heads in agreement. God is the only one who is faithful and trustworthy. So we take our petitions to Him. We shouldn't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Take everything to Him. That's what He wants from us. We are His children. He says, don't be anxious. I didn't create you to be anxious. I created you for a life to the fullest, a life of trust, a life that experiences joy and hope and peace. That's what I created you for. But when you try to carry these things, when you try to take things on, you experience that anxiety, that fear. And what happens is peace goes out the window. When we take everything to Him, present it to Him with thanksgiving, He takes it and He gives us His peace because He is near. He is with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. You can trust God because He's always near. Do you trust Him? Do you feel His presence? Some days we may feel it more than others. But we need to remember, on those days when we may not feel it, He's still there. That's faith. Jesus is that source. And so we're buried with Him, to be raised by Him so that we can live for Him. We need to live with this peace. We need to be known as people of peace. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Another translation of gentleness is calmness. Think about that for a minute. Let your calmness be known to all. How many of the people sitting here today, how many of you would say that people around you think of a calm person when they think of you? Some of you. Some of you maybe not so much. But He says, let your calmness, let your gentleness be evident to all. That's what others should see in us. This should be a daily characteristic. People should see that difference in us, that there's not anxiety, that we trust, that there's a peace about us, a calmness about us. And that particularly shows up more than any other time in the middle of difficulty. Because the normal thing to happen for any human being when struggles hit us is that we become what? Frustrated and anxious and fearful and want to make sure things aren't going to go as badly as they might go. But for someone looking in from the outside, when they see that calmness, they think, they've got something that I don't understand. Paul says that passes understanding, human understanding, doesn't make sense. And so he says, Don't be anxious. In fact, A.T. Robertson translates this, stop being anxious. There's an old Bob Newhart. You remember Bob Newhart, the original? I love this clip. I love it. I started to show it, but it's too long, and so I'll just tell you about it. He is meeting with a client, and a young lady, she comes in, and she says, well, I just have this fear of being locked in a small room. And he says, so you're claustrophobic? And she says, yes, I guess so. I just have this fear. I don't like being in elevators. I don't like being in tight spaces. And he says, well, that's you're claustrophobic. He said, I've got two words for you that will heal you. And she says, okay. And he says, only two words. She said, should I write it down? He goes, well, it's only two words, but if you feel more comfortable, then yeah. So she gets out a pen and paper, and he says, okay, are you ready? And she says, yes, I'm ready. And he says, stop it. Now, for the counselors in the room, I understand that it's more complex than that. Please understand. But I see the humor in that. And Paul is telling us to stop being anxious. Stop being anxious. Why? Because God is bigger. Now, it may not work out the way we want, but it's going to work out the way He wants. And when we trust that He knows better than we do, there's nothing to fear. How much energy do you spend worrying about your job, about your classes, about your family, about your kids, about your parents, about the world situation? God offers His peace when we give all those things to Him. So why do we continue to carry a load that we were never meant to carry? Trust, by biblical definition, is letting go with a confident conviction that God has even this. Think about that for a minute. This idea of trusting God is truly surrendering, is letting go. We may say we trust, but have we truly turned everything over to Him? I have an illustration for you. Some of you have been here long enough to know 8 years ago I did this, and so I'm going to do it again today. I'm going to ask the gentleman that I've already talked to come at this point. Hopefully, I need all of you. So I'm going to line you up. One, two, three, four. Okay, perfect. We could do it with less, but it would just be more painful for me. Okay, so yeah, you three line up here. You three line up here. Thanks, David. And okay, now I want you to grab arms with the person across from you. No, I mean like really not hands, arms. There you go, like these guys right here. Okay, now I need everybody to take about two steps this way. There you go. All right. Now, I'm going to trust you. To catch me. Now, when I talked to Stephen earlier this week, he sent me a meme back of a little boy jumping off a porch and the other one just, they're both falling together. Let's hope that doesn't happen today. So here's what I want to illustrate. Here's the importance of this picture. I can say I trust these guys, and I do. And you can say that you trust God, and you may mean it. But there comes a point of no return when you really trust Him or you don't. Think on that. You can say that you trust God, you can even mean it, but there comes a point where there's no return and you have to truly trust or not. So I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to trust that you're still going to be there. All right, ready? One, two, three.
We didn't even rehearse that.
No. You guys okay? I should have had y'all sign a waiver, I guess, before we did that, huh? I know I've done that before. I'm older now, so really had to think about it. But I don't know of anything that illustrates more accurately that idea of trust. there's that point. When I started back, I'm not getting straight back up. I'm coming down. That's I'm done. We've got to get to that point in our faith that we trust Him with everything. Do you trust Him with everything? I believe that His peace that He offers comes in His presence. And I believe that that peace is directly tied, that the level of your peace is directly tied to the depth of your trust. The more you trust Him, the more peace you have. The less you trust Him, the less peace you have. It's when we try to take hold again and say, nope, I'm standing back up. I'm not going to fall. No. We've got to trust Him fully. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Stop being anxious. Instead, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, give it all to Him. Trust Him with it. And when we do, the peace that makes no sense to the world will be what we have. That peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It will guard your hearts. It's this idea of a sentinel looking out, making sure that nobody's going to come and hurt. His peace has the power to guard your heart like that. When you trust Him fully, your heart is free to commit to even more of Him. Worry no longer crowds out your passions. His peace has the power to guard your minds. Your mind is now free to dream. You are now free to live fully the plan that He has for you. That's the peace that He wants for us. That's that resurrection power. Because Jesus has died on the cross and risen again, He's defeated sin, He's defeated death, and there is nothing left for us to fear. Jesus is the source of our peace. We find God's peace when we trust fully in Jesus. So do you trust Him today? I mean, really trust Him. Really, no return, all in, trust Him. I've shared with you before, one of my life verses is Mark chapter 9, verse 41, where the Father comes to Jesus and He says, I need you to heal my son. And Jesus says, do you believe? And the man says what? I believe, but help my unbelief. We're human. We're going to wake up some mornings and trust Him fully, and we're going to wake up some mornings where maybe we don't trust Him as much. Our prayer should be, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I trust. Help me to trust You more. So my challenge for us is to show the world the difference Jesus makes by living in His peace every day. Let them see. May it be evident to the world the calmness, the peace, the hope that you have because Jesus lives and because He's near. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You are near. And I pray today that that would be a reminder, the fact that You are near will be a reminder to us that there's nothing to fear, that we can truly have Your peace, Your hope, because You are with us. And You've already won. You've already defeated sin. You've already defeated death. And we have nothing left to fear because You are bigger. Today, there are people in this room that may say that, but they're dealing with something right now that is just bigger than they know what to do. Lord, today, help them to understand that You are bigger than even that, whatever that is. And while we still go through those difficulties, we do so with peace, knowing that You are with us and that You have our best interests in mind, that You love us. And so today, I pray that You would help each of us to sense your presence even more fully, to trust you even more deeply, and to experience your peace even more powerfully than we ever have. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your peace. Lord Jesus, it's in your name I pray it. Amen. Just a moment, I'll have you stand for a time of response. Chris will be here. I believe Micah will be here. I don't see him right now, but if you have a decision that you'd like to make, we'll be here. If you'd like prayer, we'll be here. I don't do this very often. I'm not opposed to it. I just don't usually verbalize this, but if you would just like to come and pray here at the altar, that would be fine. And just remind you that we're here because we trust Jesus, and we should ask him to help us trust him more. If you'd like prayer, we'll be here. However God leads you, respond to him during this time. So we stand and sing together.
Yeah.
Church, as we continue to have 1 million moments in the next couple of years, we have a couple of moments we would love for you to be a part of. First one, I am very excited about. Next Sunday is our annual youth fundraiser. We will have the students lead in both services. Our youth praise band was up here working for several hours yesterday, morning and afternoon, just ready to come and lead you in worship. Plus, we have several teenagers who surrendered to ministry at youth camp last year. And next week, you're going to have the opportunity to hear their story. It is going to be a wonderful time. We would love to have you come out for it. And afterwards, we will have a free lunch over in the rec center. We are serving sausage and pork loin. So it's going to be a wonderful time. We will have to-go options available. And so that is next week. It is just our way of trying to earn money to go to youth camp as we continue to be discipled so we can come back and change Corpus and then the world. So I hope to see you next week for that. Also coming up next week as well, we will have the Bells by the Bay Carillon Concert. It will be at 8 o'clock next Sunday evening, and we will have Shannon Norton Richards from Frisco, Texas, being our guest carillonneur next week. So we'd love to see you out for that. The following week, because we're Baptists and we love to eat, we're having another luncheon. This will be our senior adult luncheon. It'll be downstairs in Elmore Hall at 11:30, and tickets are $10. You can talk to, I believe, Sue Thompson if you would like to purchase a ticket or find out more information about that. Also, that Sunday night, everything's just going to be the next 2 weeks, so super easy to remember. Next Sunday night, we will not have Sunday night discipleship here. Instead, we will be meeting at the movie theater to watch the new upcoming film, Unsung Hero. It is the story of Rebecca St. James, as well as her two younger brothers, the two guys for King and Country, and really their family. It's a great movie. We'd love for you to come out to see that. That'll be next that'll be May 5th at 6 o'clock at Century 16 Theater. Tickets are only $5 if you buy them through the church, and we've rented out a theater. You're not going to get to see a movie for $5 a person unless you come hang out with us. So we would love to see you be a part of that. All kinds of wonderful moments for you to be a part of. Pastor?
Well, I am so glad that you have been here today and a part of God's worship today. In your bulletin, I'll make just one other quick announcement. You see an insert for Broken Chains, and I just want to tell you a little bit about what they do. Robert leads that ministry, and I have begun to work with them some. I go and speak there on Friday nights occasionally, and it's a wonderful ministry, and this is a fundraiser for them. It's not a meal that you go sit down, you just drive through, buy whatever food you'd like, and take it home. So it's not a go sit down and have lunch kind of a thing, but it's just a way for them to make some money. And so just encourage you, if you're on the south side of town and want to run by Second Baptist next Saturday, they will be doing that. We are blessed today to welcome a couple to our church, and they're somewhat related to our church already. In fact, one of the young men that caught me a moment ago is their grandson, I believe. And so if you would come, this is Donnie and Polly. They're coming by statement from a sister church in our area. And say the last name, Salvato?
Salvato.
Salvato, okay. All right. Now, I do this every time people come, so don't panic. It's going to be fine. In fact, trust in God, have no fear. No, you don't have to fall. No, no. If you as a church family are willing to welcome them in and to walk with them and be the family that they need to follow Christ on this journey that we're on together, would you say, welcome home?
Welcome home.
It's your church family. So I'm going to ask you to stand right here. They can come by and greet you, those that would like. And I'm going to slip out and go to the Welcome Center and greet you there. Would Candy, you want to come stand with your parents? She says, oh, great, thanks for that. I just didn't want them to have to stand here by themselves.
We're big people.
I know, you're big people, that's true. As we are dismissed, thank you, Candy. As we are dismissed today, may the God who created us out of love, who is near every single day, remind us that we can exhibit his peace no matter what we encounter. Because Jesus is alive. Amen. We're dismissed.
notice that I...